Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I love that song. That little girl, I think she's only like 4 years old or something. But it brings it back to we should have the heart of a child. You know, that's what Christianity is we're sons and daughters. You know, we're children of the Lord. We're the children of Israel. You know, we're the chosen ones. We're called out. We're the aliens of the world. We're from a world that they know not of. We represent a kingdom they know not of. This is why Jesus spoke in parables. Because the beast is talking a language that people understand. You know. And this is why, you know, it's hard for them to step over unless they understand the language of God. You know, and that's a full all out being a child and trusting in the Lord like that. You know, falling back in his arms, saying, Lord, you're going to have to catch me. And sometimes God whips us. You know, sometimes he has to discipline us because we're in disobedience. And I told you guys that God had me and Dennis pull away for 2 weeks because we was going to be disciplined. And I think this morning I had the revelation of why I'm being disciplined. I cannot. It's the hardest thing for me to let go of the news. It is. I don't know how to explain it. I just got to repent. Because I looked in the donations and I saw how dried up that well is. See, I know some people will look at me and judge me and say, you're just basing it on money. But let me tell you something. I know God. I've been doing the news now, you know, 7 or 8 years. And it's not something I ever wanted to do, I'll tell you that. To put my life on the line, my family's on the line, to speak truth, have people think you're judging, you're a judge, you know. I've heard that I don't know how many times. It's called discernment. And when I call things out, it's because it's what I see. It's what I've been trained to do. This is what I know. You can take it or leave it. I mean, I don't even know what else to say anymore, you know. But anyway, so over the years, you know, it's been a very blessed thing in the ministry. But I will say that last fall when we did all that fasting and stuff, you know, God shifted my heart to be more of a pastor, to be more of a involved in your life, personal level than the news. You know, so I did my goodbyes to YouTube, did goodbyes to everybody because that was my heart. But this thing comes over me of trusting. I'm trying not to cry. I see people fall back when I'm not keeping it before them. It's a burden I carry as a watchman. It's like I want to help. I want to do the news and show them, no, this is a deception, you know. But it's gotten to be worse of a burden because people, the place that we're at right now is the beast is alive. And he's showing his ugly fangs. And people are choosing. And they're turning on me. I've been telling you lately about some things. Excuse me. Because they're mad at themselves that they can't do it. This is the way I feel, that the reason they're lashing out at me is because they know they can't do it, and they lash out at me. I'm the bad guy, you know. But it's just the point in time that we're at in this end time scenario. And I look at the darkness, and I see so much, you know, that it can swallow me up. And I'm, like yesterday, you know, I sat here and I showed people, you know, the Trump agenda, Elon, the technology. Plus, I know what God is saying to us on this prayer call, which is the most awesome thing going. This is moving bigger on the website than the news, these prayer calls. And, but anyway, so, you know, God has been telling us, you know, you need to write it down, your testimony. And God's really been speaking to us the past 3 or 4 months about testimony, testimony, testimony. You're going to see why this morning, because I do have a word for you. And you're going to see why I believe God is really pushing for you to master that testimony. You know, get it down. But anyway, so in the worldly situation, this thing is increasing about the brain. You know, think about it. The radiation that's happening with, you know, the 5G increasing. Elon's satellites taking over all of the other satellites like mine, the Viasat, has now been taken over by Elon, because what he's doing is he's getting all of the communications that's on the earth, and he's putting it all in satellites up there, because it's all boiling down to surveillance. Ultimate surveillance of people. This is why he's got these, you know, they're putting in the data centers everywhere. And yesterday I heard somebody say, you know, if you want to make sure you want to keep your grid, move near one of them data centers, because they're always going to keep the grid on around them because they need it for their AI. In other words, if y'all could think of it like this, they're mining the earth to death. They're mining the earth to death. They're sucking up the minerals that are in the earth, and they are churning them into this metal world that they are creating, because they want to put people in the metaverse. They want to put them in this other ark, you know. Anyways, the point that I'm trying to say this morning is it gave me the realization this well has truly dried up. And I've been telling everybody, you need to come to the prayer calls, because in the mornings, this is where I'm free. I'm able to talk to you guys and tell you, you know, be careful of this. They're doing this and whatnot. I can warn you here, in other words. And, but on YouTube, I don't know, the news, I don't know, it's just dried up. I can tell you probably 3 people have given from the news in the past 2-3 months. I mean, it's that bad. The, you know, I don't know, but I just want to vent a minute, if you will allow me, and I hope I come across in love and not haughty. But there are things that I go through that really bothers me, that I have to overcome, you know, being a strong Christian, you know, and being a mature Christian as well. But I just want to say a few things that I have went through, just to let you guys know the price that I've paid to do this, First of all, on Patreon. Let's talk about Patreon. All we ask on there is $5, $10, $25, $50, or $100, whatever these people want to give. But these, and I put on there, and I'm always putting stuff on there. I can't tell you how many hours a month I do just focusing on Patreon for $5 a month. And then when they leave, they'll leave a survey saying that they're not getting out of it what they expected for $5. And you talking about a stab. It's like, people, I'm sitting here, I will share an article on there, and I will put on there, how long is it taking me to do this? You know, and I'm sharing, and I'm saying, you know, the reason Elon's doing this, and then I'll put my thought on there. This is why Patreon is so awesome, because I can do it on the fly. You know what I mean? Somebody can send me something, and then I will post it on there, and I'll tell you why this is important to you. But people complain about $5. And then, and in the Bible college, you know, I had to go up on my fee because I was like, I wasn't going to charge anybody anything. You know, but then when I'm printing all this stuff and I'm thinking, man, this is more than I thought it was going to be, I go up to $40 and had somebody complain about me giving them 6 weeks of my time. And you have a problem with $40. You know, I don't want to sound unappreciative, and I don't want to sound, but what is your time worth? Think about yourself when you go for a job and you're given all you have and you got mountains of debt, you know, and your heart, you know, myself, I've been doing this with the Lord, you know, since 2013. So you can imagine, well, let's see, 2013, so 12 years now. 12 years living by faith like this. 12 years, you know. When I went to school, you know, into grad school and everything, I worked for a lawyer full time. I worked at the college part time, president of three organizations. Very multitasking type of woman. I'm talking, you know, and I just pray y'all hear my heart. I can imagine some people that already don't like me, what they'll be thinking about this. But I've got to tell you, you know, back then, you know, it was nice because you worked and received what you was worth. You know what I mean? And when I went into full-time ministry, God shut the doors. And it's not that I'm mad at God or whatever. I'm just telling you what I've been through. You know, I lost that brand new car I had. And I lost that apartment I had. So I'm homeless. And now I'm having to face everybody's opinion of me. And I'm still doing it. 12 years later. I'm still at the mercy of people's opinions. When I give them my whole heart, I don't know how to explain it, but today I'm hurting. I'm at my wit's end, you know, and I told them on YouTube, I'm done with the news. I bet you it looks like to you guys, when y'all just see me do the news and it's 2 hours, 3 hours. You know, it doesn't look like I spend much time, but what if I was what I wanted to be? What if I was a career woman, which is what I went to school for, and I could have made $1,000 a week at least with my education, $30, $40, $50 an hour, and people complain about $5? I don't know how to explain it, but I'm at my wit's end. I'm in debt. I want to get a job, I don't know how to explain it. I love the ministry part, and I love the Bible college. I love helping people. We get letters all the time, you know, of what people's going through and stuff. And, you know, talking about letters. See, used to, I got gifts all the time from people. I don't know if I've lost favor with people or what it is, or if I've failed my mission. I don't know. But I'm at my wit's end. As far as ministry like this, I do have a word. In the midst of my suffering, I still have a word. I still have the heart of the Bible college. And, you know, my plans of doing the Bible studies and stuff like that, I still want to. I don't even know about Patreon. I'm ready to kick it to the curb. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, because I'm tired of the $5. It's like I'm groveling. You know, and I put all that work in. For what? And then, okay, on top of that, with the news, with the discernment, I happened to look on YouTube yesterday. This one guy, people have been trying to get me to hook up, interview and stuff, and I just happened to research him just 10 minutes. This man that everybody likes, and I can see through him like the cows. I mean, I can see it as plain as day. And I know it comes across to people like I'm a judge, you know. But it's like, gosh, Lord help me. I've taught these people and they still go to people like this. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. The news is just not producing the fruit. Because people still, they can't see. Either I'm not communicating it right or something. People cannot see what I'm trying to teach them. And it hurts. It hurts. It really does. So like yesterday, I'm looking at this man. And I see, like, you know, he's an artist. Is what he does as a profession. And he's got all over his wall, India. He photographs these India weddings, which is Hinduism. And I know what India is doing now to our country and stuff. And then you see this guy who's trying to pull the Christians in. And he's got these people, all these people from India doing all these Illuminati things, you know, the one eye symbolism and the all the things that Hollywood does and stuff. You know, he's got these people from India doing that, and that's the majority of the people, you know, that he films. And I'm thinking, God help the church that they can't see. And it puts a burden on me. I'm like, what am I doing wrong, Lord? And then, okay, on the news, I try to show you guys examples, you know, where I will take a ministry or, you know, some type of YouTube news people, and I will try to show you what I see. And that's why some people think I'm being judgmental. But it's not that I'm being judgmental. It's that I'm trying to show you, because my master's degree is corporate communications. And God sent me to London to show me how to see things. I don't know. It comes across as judgmental. And I don't want it to be. I don't want people to see me as that way. People get hurt because they can't do it or whatever, and then they get mad at me. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. One thing I can say is that the time, I guess my point to this whole conversation is, what is your time worth? Do you consider the time, you know, that I put into this? And I'm very thankful for Dennis, because we've been married 2.5 years, almost 3 years. And I haven't really been a wife. I mean, we come in at night. You know, he goes out in the field and he works during the day. And then I come over here and I work all day. Because I get up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning is when my day starts. You know. And so I come over here, you know, and I work all day. And then we come together at night and do dinner together. And he's been very flexible and stuff. Hold on just a moment, I got to blow my nose. All right. I know y'all didn't call in to hear this, but I sure feel better getting that off my chest. But the point is that, you know, I see these things in these people, these ministries that are deceiving people, these YouTube people that are deceiving people. And I try to tell the church, because I want to scream from the rooftops, like, warning, warning, you know, this guy is a farce. This woman is a farce. Like, who was that? I think it was somebody from the prayer call. Yes, okay, it was Sherry. I think she's on here right now, Sherry. Okay, so Sherry was telling me the other day, this is a good example, good example. She was telling me about this woman that said that everybody's going to get $50,000. Okay, so I look up this woman. Immediately, I could tell this woman is a shill. This woman is a farce. Because I know what Trump and them are doing. You know, they're getting all these influencers of different races and colors, tribes and creeds, to go after their target audience. So this woman's a beautiful black woman. And she's sitting in her really nice house, you know, and she's focusing on just really trying to pull the black people into Trump is what she's doing. And you can see it all up and down her wall, you know, with all the hashtags and all this stuff. Then when you research her and you go out further than just this image of TikTok or whatever, and you go out, you know, and then I can see the picture as plain as day. But trying to explain that to people without looking like I'm being judgmental has been a challenge. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So like I was saying about this man yesterday. So I happened to see him because he's pretty big on YouTube. And so I thought, I'm going to check this guy out for a minute. You know, so I look at his wall. He puts his website on there. And I knew that the people he's partnering with, like his interviews and stuff, you know, is the Freedom Forest people. But I go to his website and I see all this. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. God help me. So the point that I'm trying to say this morning is, now that I know that this fruit has dried up in the news, you know, when I looked at my donations this morning, really focused on where it's coming from and everything, I realized that's it. I am done. I just have to repent to the Lord again because I have the hardest time letting go of news, and it's because of the burden that I feel in my heart. And I need you guys to pray for me that I can give the bride to the Lord. You know, sometimes I do this with my kids. You know, I catch myself wanting to take it back in my hands instead of trusting the Lord. Does this make any sense to anybody? Because the fruit of this ministry is this right here. These prayer calls, the Bible college, the church, the pastor who is this morning, he gets up all hours of the night where God is preparing him for Sunday. He puts in, you know, of course, hours upon hours in his preparation just for his Sunday morning service. This is where the fruit is. So, another thing about doing the news is that's really been hard is looking at the darkness has been hard, because it can cause you to go down rabbit trail after rabbit trail after rabbit trail, because the truths never stop. And really, I believe that's why they're, you know, telling everybody, oh, you know, this has come forward, this truth. Yeah, it may be a truth, but is it the truth you need to be following? Because you'll go down that rabbit trail and you'll be gone for, you'll be gone for hours, you know, down the rabbit trail. But the thing is, though, about looking at the darkness is, you know, like yesterday, okay, here's a great one. Here is a great example. Here's the president with all his cabinet, having all the media there, okay? And I still get invitations to go back to D.C. and to be in the Corps again and to be, you know, with these people. But anyway, these people are in there with all his cabinet. Now, he's got J.D. Vance, his vice president, who you never see hardly, way over there across the room away from him. You know, and he's got Elon. And he you know, and they're telling everybody all these great things that the Trump administration is you know, going to be doing. And what does he do? He has a black, so he's really working to woo in the black people. He's got a black, I really don't know like what the denomination is of this man, but he sounded like a good preacher. But to get up there and pray at the White House in front of the world media, which I knew was such a stunt, okay? But I thought in my heart, danger, danger, because he prayed a really good prayer. And the reason I say danger on the watchman side of me is because all of the church that is unsuspecting of what he is doing to the church, dismantling our government, dismantling everything so he can come after her to get her. And he is up there with a man that looks legit and praying the house down, Christian, not a rabbi, not a Hindu, not a Buddha, not a Muslim, but a real evangelical that they have ignored for 8 years. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? They let everybody know when they did their RNC, you know, that they was not about one group ever again. He is ecumenical to the bone. But I'm sitting there watching this. I was like, Dennis, look at this. How terrible is this? Because this sent an image in people's head that he is working for them. That is dangerous because people don't pay attention. They're just, in other words, I knew it was a publicity stunt. But it's stuff like that You know, I feel like I can just tell you guys on the prayer call and be done with it. You know, instead of having to show you on a 2 or 3 hour news show. But I don't know. I just hope you guys hear my heart this morning and thank you for letting me vent. Because it does, and anybody that's been in ministry knows exactly what I'm talking about. About, you know, how people treat you and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of times we just have to, in ministry, have to die continually. But, you know, the Lord keeps telling me to let go of the news, and I have the hardest time doing it. And I need you guys, not that I'm confessing that over myself, but I need you to come in agreement with me that I'll be able to let it go. Because another thing is, you know, YouTube right now is in the process of changing over to QR codes. And I'm not sure. I'm probably, me and Bruce is looking into it right now, but I'm probably 80% sure I will not go forward with that. Which means on YouTube, I would have another month left, if that, a month or two. Do y'all hear what I am saying? So if I know that I only have a month left on YouTube, or maybe even 2 months, you know, do I want to spend that time just revealing more news that they get from all these other people on YouTube? Or do I want to spend that time to try to preach the word? You know, do these Bible studies on the tabernacle. Do I want to spend that time that I have left? Because I really think we're like this close, you know. In other words, y'all just pray for me, really. I'd really appreciate it. Alright, so I feel much better. I got that off my chest. If I have come across to you guys as judgmental, because I try to warn you about stuff, and maybe I didn't say it right, maybe I come across haughty, I'm asking you to forgive me. I mean it. Because when I tell the news and stuff, and when I try to show you these things, I'm trying to help you, but I don't, you know, really like the consequences that come with that type of deal. I don't want to be called a judge. That's the last thing I want. God is the judge. And I want to keep him in his place. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? There's no job, nothing worth that. My relationship with the Lord. So if I've hurt you in any way, and anybody listening to this later, I am asking you to forgive me. It's been hard doing both news and ministry. Because you have to look at the darkness and you see, you know, what the devil's doing. You try to warn people and maybe you don't do it right. You know, maybe you come across as haughty. Because here's what I've learned about people. They are loyal to these people they like. And when you try to tell them what you see and they already have a preconceived image of this person, they feel like you're attacking them. And it's like, won't you even consider what I'm saying? Especially when you know that I do this 24/7. This is, God has given me the eyes and the wisdom with understanding to see the farce out there. And if you don't want to believe this about the people, then you've been told. You know? Anyway, so let's go on with the word. I do have word for you this morning. And it's going to shock you. It is a good one. All right. Everybody turn your Bible to Psalm chapter 19. Now, God has been, this is the last day of the Bible study this week. Okay. This is the last day on, this is a Thursday. So, starting on Monday, it started out with a warning. Now, this was, I believe, our first week back after having 2 weeks off, right? So, it started back with a bang. I mean, you know, God, I had been with the Lord that morning, I think, since 2:30, wasn't it? So I started out preaching. And God spoke that day. I actually have it right here. Because I'd like to read this to you. Here we go. All right. The Lord woke me up at 2:30 yesterday. I guess this was Tuesday's journal. Wait a minute. Let me go back to Monday's journal. Okay, here we go. Okay, so I had a warning for the bride. This started out on Monday. And it was talking about Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, you know, share your testimony, write your testimony type of deal. And then it said, you're the last voice to share the real Jesus. It may stop this year. So, you know, in a, where you're able to share it with people without the trauma type of deal. So prepare your testimony, document it somehow. Now, you that's been following me for a while, y'all know that I'm a scribe. I am a modern day scribe like what they had in the Bible times. I have documented the country, which is in my 20 books I've written. I've documented what's happened in our country. I've documented the fall of our country. I've documented the church, what happened in the church. Remember, in 2017, God sent me across the country to see the interwoven happenings of the church across 36 states, 18,000 miles. I visited hundreds of churches through that trip. And the Lord showed me, you know, the fall of the church, you know, what happened and the judgment and all that stuff. So I've scribed it through radio. I had thousands of shows on radio, news, Bible studies, preaching, traveling, speaking, you know, I have scribed. And so the Lord is saying to you guys, you need to scribe. You need to write your story down and leave a legacy. Document it. Record your story in writing and share how Jesus changed your life. Why? Because the beast is trying to take your mind, your brain, and you need to write your story down so that the beast cannot try to convince you. That was Monday. Okay, so Tuesday. All right, let's see what we had on Tuesday. The hand of God. Which hand would you rather have? The hand of God or the hand of man? Which would be the hand of the beast? And that's the day we had all them scriptures. And we talked about, you know, the blessings of being under the hand of God. Okay, now on Wednesday. Okay, this is when I talked about the Lord woke me up at 2:30 on that Tuesday. Okay, and then this is when we had all of you guys gave your blessings, you know, yesterday, and that was posted last night. I've been posting them at 7 o'clock at night for the people across the world. Can listen to these recordings at night, and because in their time it's at day. Okay, so the point is that God is saying we need to document who the Lord really is. Who is the real Jesus? Will the real Jesus stand up? Okay? Now, today, God is going to kind of seal what happened this week. And he's going to show you an even further revelation that I had this morning about why this is important, okay? All right, let me see here. Let's see here. All right, here, guys. Looking for my notes. I've written so much this morning in my journal. Okay, so we are in Psalm 19. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you encourage my spirit this morning, Lord. Give me grace. I need grace, Lord, to continue. Help me, Lord, to keep my eyes upon you and your will. Lord, give me the heart to obey you in all ways, Lord. Help me to let go of things you tell me to let go of, Lord. I repent before God and man about disobeying you, Lord. Help me. Help me to trust you, Lord, with your people. And to trust that you're going to carry them from this point forward, Lord. Help me to strengthen your people in the spirit. Not as much knowledge, but in the spirit. Because the spirit is what's going to take them, Lord. Help me, Jesus, to be a better representation of you. And I thank you for forgiving me, Lord. And Lord, I pray for the bride out there, God. I pray you strengthen them through all these things that are happening, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that in your word, with what you're going to share with us today, is another revelation. And it's the finale of what you have been telling us this week. And Lord, we glorify your holy name this morning. We thank you, Lord, because you love those that you correct. You love those that you chastise, Lord. How we love you, Lord. Even when we get whiffed a little bit, we love you, Lord. So, Lord, use this word this morning to glorify your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. One other thing I want to say about the news before we get started in this word is one thing that I showed you guys on the news yesterday through someone else on an interview that they were talking about how the beast wants to kill all natural things in the earth. They want to get rid of the sun. They want to cloud the skies. They want to burn up the grass, the trees. They want to destroy the food, which I've been showing you on the news, how they've been culling animals. They want to kill the humans, which they've been doing since 2020. You know, why? The reason is because of this new earth, this great reset that they're doing. The reset is the metaverse. They're taking people into this new reality, which I showed you on the news yesterday, how they're saying that the brain is not compatible in the old way. Everybody needs to develop a new brain. This is how they're presenting people why they need to take the chip. So it's because they want to mine. And when I say mine, it's M-I-N-E, mine, the earth, the natural resources. When Trump says that he wants to frack, F-R-A-C-K, frack the earth, and the Christians look at that and they laugh and smile. No, that is nothing to laugh at. It's a very sad thing because they explode the earth underneath to get gases out. It's sick. They wonder why Flint, Michigan's one of them that they really believe happened, where it destroyed a whole city's water system due to fracking. It breaks up the Earth's crust. It breaks up the Earth's ecosystem, the animals under there, you know, that we need. I mean, I've learned since we have animals here, you know, these chickens, they walk around our entire farm, you know, and they will scratch, 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 and they can hardly find in the past, because, you know, we're believing God now to restore our, to make a supernatural ground here, because they will scratch, scratch, scratch. And we got 12 acres here, and they cannot find worms. See, used to, before they, you know, did all the chemicals and the things that they do in the air and all this other stuff, they would scratch and find worms. That's why chickens have the nails on their feet the way they do. It's really, really cool. And the way that they have those long necks, because they'll scratch the dirt. They'll uncover the grub that's under the... It's pretty cool, you know? They uncover what's underneath the dirt and then they eat it. You know, it's just the ecosystem. But through this ungodly satanic world they got going on here, you know, they are chemicaling everything. Even on the news last night, I showed you where they said that California and what was that other state? Nevada? California and one of the mother states over there, the treetops are dying. That's chemicals that they're spraying on top of the trees. You know, much less what they're doing in the earth type of deal. But the reason I'm telling you this is before we get started in the Word, God is going to show you why. And here we go. So let's get started on Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. I did a deep dive on that this morning. All right, the heavens declare. What does declare mean? It means to reveal the identity of or the intentions of the glory of God. Isn't that beautiful? I read that, I was like, wow. So it really is like I've been saying. I've been telling you guys. They do not want people to see God anymore. I told you guys my most favorite thing to do is to walk outside and talk to him. Oh, how I love looking at the sun, looking at the sky, walking out in the middle of the night and taking my dogs out to pee every morning at like 2:30 in the morning. Looking up at the stars is just so beautiful. You know, because it just testifies. And then you see the beautiful trees. We've got flowers coming up out of the ground already, these little buttercups. And Dennis, you know, he'll walk in here in the office and he'll bring me a buttercup. But the earth is a testimony of the real God. The sky, the stars. Let's look at this. And then it says the firmament shows his handiwork. So I looked up the word firmament. It means the vault or arch of the sky. Wow. So it's God's hard work. When you look at the stars, you know, and you see the meticulous way, you know, that God designed certain stars, where you see the Big Dipper and, you know, you see the big old moon. I've told you the experiences I've had with the moon. One of the stories is, I'm not going to go into the stories, but one of the stories is where I was riding through Alabama, driving through Alabama on one of my tours. This was like 2015 or 2016. And It was at 7 o'clock at night, and you know, this is the story of the eyeballs rolling around the car. God's eyes are on me. The moon is right over my head. I had a sunroof and the moon come down to me. And I was like, wow, you're watching me. You know, I feel you just staring at me. And then after I said that, I said, I feel you smiling. Now I got to tell the story. I'm sorry. I was like, I'm riding down the road. It's a beautiful summer night, and it's like 7 o'clock, and I'm all praying in tongues, you know, jamming out to my worship music. I was, you know, that was my prayer. That was my sanctuary. I'm riding down the road, boy. You know, people thought I was crazy because I'd be like, woohoo, you know, praying in tongues, waving my hands, you know, dancing in the car, worshiping the Lord. You know, a big old smile on my face. So I'm in this kind of mood, in this mode. And I feel this, like, heat on my head. And I looked up and the moon was right there. I was like, what? It was like I could reach out and touch that moon. I was like, wow, you are, like, right there. I said, I feel you looking at me. This is amazing. And then I saw in the spirit these two eyeballs over there to the right. Somebody told me yesterday, they said, because you know this Bible college class is graduating next week and they're doing their final exam. By the way, I need y'all to be there Tuesday night. I think we're going to do it at 7 to give people time to get home. 7 o'clock Tuesday night. You need to be there and support these Bible college students. But they told me, they said, I don't know. I just feel weird giving my story because it's so fantastical. It's like people won't even believe what's happened to me. I said, I feel you. Remember the story of the eyeballs? So this is one of them. So here's these eyeballs in the spirit. Okay, so these eyeballs, I see them in the spirit. Like I've seen witches come to me and covens and everything in the spirit. So I saw these two eyeballs come around. And they rode to the front of my car. And they were suspended in the air. I will do a visual on this for tonight. And I will show you. But they were staring at me for 30 miles. 30 minutes. Not 2 minutes. Not 5 minutes. Not rolling on by. I'm talking sitting there. So I'm riding down the road, you know. Listen to my worship music with these eyeballs there. I was like, what? I was blushing from ear to ear. I was like, God, I feel you right here. I have your full attention. Wow, 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 you know. And I was just telling him, oh, how I worship you. I love you. You know, you are so holy. You're so worthy. You know, all the stuff you do when you're in your intercession, you know, and in your work. Because I'm a worshiper to the bone. And so after about 30 miles, you know, those eyeballs roll off. And I'm sitting there like, whoo, hallelujah, they're gone. I was like, let me take a breath here. But anyway, so that's the eyeballs. But the moon, that's one of my experiences with the moon. The other experience I had was when I was rebellious to the Lord. I didn't want to give him my all because it cost too much. So I would do my own thing, and I'd date all kinds of men, you know, just when I was single. And one day, this woman, I was telling these women at church, because, you know, I was all involved in the church, you know, partying on Saturday night, but still heavily involved in the church, because I did love the Lord. I just didn't want to give. I'd give them, like, maybe 70%. I'd give them 70%, but I didn't want to give them 100%, you know. And so one day I was bragging to these women. I said, oh, man, I got a date Saturday night. This woman said, she was the praise and worship leader. She goes, I think the Lord just wants you all to himself. I said, what? Oh, man. I remembered what God told me 12 years ago. He said, I want you all to myself. And this is when I was 25, going through a divorce with the kid's father. And he told me he wanted me all to himself, and I'm 25 years old, and you want me celibate? I don't think so. You know, this is what I was telling God. I ain't doing that. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. So I married how many more times? Let's see. Five more times. Yes, five times. Of course, I married the kid's dad two more times. Married this one guy, left me 3 weeks later for another woman. And then I married this one guy who left me the next day. So none of them ever worked. But I did not want to be, I didn't want to do what God told me to do. I didn't want to be celibate. Because remember, I told you I was molested when I was five, and that's the way I understood love type of deal. But anyway, so when this woman said this, I had a memory of when God said that to me. I was like, no, not again. Can't I just serve you this 70%? Why do you want all of it? So on my way home, I was underneath the moonlight. I felt the moon shining through that car, and I was beating on the steering wheel, screaming at God, why are you asking me this 12 years later? You still want me all to yourself. I can't be that woman, Lord. You know, and I'll tell you this, I can't be this woman. So I go to church that Sunday. And the preacher's preaching. He said, you know, when God calls you, he knows you can't do it. He knows you can't. This is where the grace comes in. So the Lord speaks to me and he says, if you will trust me, I will show you what a real husband is. Oh, Lord, you can't have sex with me. And he says, I will show you. I am the husband you're looking for, woman. I was like, oh, so I left there. I thought about it. And I said, all right, Lord. So I contacted the pastor. He was had, this was a week before Easter. Easter of 2015. And I said, pastor, because he had known me for years. I'd been in that church like 16 years. I said, now, pastor, you know all the bad mistakes I made. Because when I would go have sex with somebody, I'd go tell my pastor. I know this sounds funny, but it's the truth. I was honest. I mean, it's not like I was trying to hide it or nothing. It's just I just could not cross over this thing. So I called. I said, pastor, now, you know I've had a problem with men. And I said, but there is something I need to tell you that happened 12 years ago that I forgot all about it, actually. I said, but the Lord, when me and the kid's father was divorcing, and that was because of a horrible abuse type of deal, I said, the Lord told me he wanted me all to himself because he's jealous for me. And I could not do it, pastor. And so this is why you've seen me be rebellious and marry all these people. I said, but the Lord is saying now, that he still wants me all to himself. So since you're doing a baptism on Easter Day, I would like to ask you if I could get baptized again. I want to marry the Lord. He keeps telling me that if I will allow him, he will show me that he's the husband I've always looked for. And the pastor said, wow, I love this idea. This is awesome. I'm all for it. Go for it. Well, this was on a Sunday. So I called my kids. You know, Brock was in Bible college. And I told him, I need you to pray for me, son. I've got a problem. I've got a sex addiction. The Lord wants me to be this woman, but I don't know how to be this woman. I need you to pray for me. And, you know, he said, okay. So that Thursday, he calls me Thursday night, Mama, I was in Bible college today in one of my classes, my missions class, and this was before the professor come in, and the fire of God come down. This is why I used to love Rob Parsley's Bible college. It was like this. It was my experience with Rob Parsley was really awesome, just to let all you guys know. He said, the fire of God come down. And we all got on our face and started praying in tongues. We didn't know what about. So the professor walks in and she goes, I don't know what's going on in here, but I know it's intercession for somebody's family. So Brock, she knew immediately it was Brock. She goes, Brock, what is going on in your family? Why this is happening? And then Brock told her. He said, I've got a mother. She's been married 6 times. And the Lord is calling her. And she has an addiction. And she don't, you know, so he told everybody, because I'm not trying to hide it. This is a problem I got, you know, type of deal. So this woman said, all right, that's it. Everybody get on your face right now. We're going to spend this entire hour praying for this woman. So they did. So he called me that night. He said, Mom, I just want you to know there was 100 students in that class and we all interceded for you, Mama, that when you get baptized on Sunday, the Lord is going to meet you there, Mama. He's going to meet you there. I said, okay. I was smoking cigarettes. I used to love smoking. I know it sounds crazy, but I used to smoke them until the cows come home. When I sin, I do it right, let me tell you. When I serve the Lord, I give him my all, you know, like this. Anyway, on my way to church that morning, I was smoking a cigarette, riding down the road. And I thought about it because I had it set in my mind. I'm going to quit smoking when I get baptized that night, on that Sunday night. And on my way to church that morning, I thought, why wait till tonight? Just throw them out the window. So I took them cigarettes and I threw them out the window. I got to the church. Man, I worshiped God like there was no tomorrow. Yes, I did. And he told me when I was worshiping him, he said, woman, I am going to show you what a real husband is. And I told him when I worshiped him, I said, well, I have made enough mistakes trying to find the right husband, so I am going to give you a whirl. I'm going to try this, Lord. I don't know. I'm going to try it. So I called my family and I told them, I know y'all are ashamed of me because of the mistakes and sins I've done. But if you will give me another chance and come to church tonight, I'm getting baptized and I'm going to marry the Lord. So they all came. So I wore a white dress. Of course, I had a slip on. But when I got there, this was on a Sunday night. I'll never forget it. And this woman got up and sang that song, Alabaster Box. And it talked about that woman at the well that cried at Jesus' feet. And she had been married all them times. Remember all them men. And that was me. And I saw myself while this woman was singing, this is you, June. You know, you're this woman, the woman at the well, just so dirty and foul, you know, is the way I felt. And so I cried and cried, went up there, and when I got in the baptism, I posted this picture on that video I did yesterday when I did my little testimony part. I posted the picture of that baptism. I still got that picture. I got in the water, and the pastor asked me, he said, do you want to testify? I said, yes. So I told the church, I said, listen, I've been in this church for a long time, but I'm going to confess to you guys, I've been sinning. I said, I've got an addiction, and, you know, I told him, I'm marrying the Lord tonight. He told me he's going to show me what a husband he is, so I'm going to give him a try, you know. And when I got under the water, or come up out of the water clean. He took that dirt, that foulness, that perversion, that addiction. He took it.
I come up out of the water, and that desire that I had was gone. And I felt clean. For the first time since I was violated when I was 5 years old. I still remember what happened to me when I was five, and it robbed me of innocence. But when I come up out of that water, she was back, that little girl. I shouted, hallelujah. He started waking me up at 4 o'clock every morning, talking to me like I used to hear him when I was in the woods when I was nine. When my home back then was violent and everything, that's how I learned to hear God's voice. And I guess it's about 4 days later, the Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock. He said, I am calling you to go to World Harvest Bible College. I said, what? I was like, I know this ain't God. I am 36 years old. And he's, I'm like, this can't be God. I said, I want you to go to World Harvest Bible College. I said, what the world? I said, Lord, I am 36 years old. You just gave me this house a year ago. Remember that story of how God gave me that house supernaturally? That's another story. I said, what do you want me to do with this house? And he said, I want you to sell your house, give away everything you got, and follow me. Well, I didn't believe it was God. I was like, this can't be God. So I did a deep dive Bible study that day for 5 hours. And I was studying about kings and Gideon. God called Gideon to go to war. And Gideon was like, I want to know if this is God's voice or not. So he said, God, I'm going to test you. If this is you, then I won't do to fall on this coat. And no dew on the grass, I'll know it's you. So God does. Next day, God, I really don't know if that's you. How about the dew fall on the grass, but not on the coat? So God confirms it to him. And then he goes and God takes him to victory. So the next morning, God wakes me up at 4 o'clock and says, I said, go to World Harvest Bible College, woman. I said, all right, God. I said, if this is you telling me at 36 years old to sell my house, give away everything I got, follow you into oblivion, then I am asking you to, for a miracle. I want to make sure this is you because I'm not doing another thing until I know it is you telling me to do this. So I said, Lord, now I was looking at that school you want me to go to. Now they got a school for my children. You know, Andrew's going to be a senior, and he's the class president of the school here. He's been in for years, and he's got all these friends. And you're not just asking me to give up my life, but you're asking my children to give up their life, too, you know. So I'm asking you, Lord, if you would pay that tuition to World Harvest Bible College, $4,500, if you pay that, then I'll know, because I know I don't have the money right now, so. I guess it was about a week later, I got a phone call. And this woman said, hey, I'm going to World Harvest Church. You know, they got this big event going on. I forgot what it was called. Silent No More. There you go. They got this big conference going on, and they're bringing in all their preacher teams from all over the world. They're coming in for this big conference. She said, I've already paid for everything you wanted to pay for nothing. So I'm like, all right. So I went with her. Man, God was all over me the entire trip. I go in this big gymnasium where they have all these preachers from all over the world there. And I felt like I was right at home with all this greatness in the room. You could feel it in the atmosphere. the greatness of these people. I don't know how to explain it, but I just felt like I was in my element. This is it. And then this woman leaned over and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have called you to come to Bible college. Don't you worry about a thing. I'm going to pay for your son. Don't worry about it." So I was like, wow. You know, that's why I love Pentecostal churches, you know. And so then the next day I was at the altar praying after church. You know, Lord, I just need one more confirmation before I go back to Tennessee, and then I'll know. And that Bible college professor, the one that asked everybody to pray for an hour, walked up to me at the altar, and she goes, "Thus saith the Lord, I have called you to come to Bible college. Don't you worry about a thing. I'm going to pay for everything." I was like, "Yes, Lord, that's all I need, your word. It is so." I go back, testify to my church. I'm going to testify to you guys. I have been quit smoking 2 weeks. Glory, hallelujah, it's a miracle. And I told him, you know, God is, believe this or not, God, I just got baptized and God's called me to go to Bible college. So he confirmed it when I went up there. There's nothing else to discuss about it. It is done. It is so. God has spoken. So he tells me, you know, to give away everything I have. I have beautiful furniture. So if any of you guys need furniture, come and get it. So 2 months later, I was on the road. 2 months later, I had called the bank, sold it back at cost. I had God, I mean, he lined up everything perfectly. You know, crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's, you know, so that when I left, everything was in the perfect order. And I was standing in the house that God supernaturally gave me. Y'all know that story. And now God wants it back. A brand new house that we got to build and everything. And he wanted it back a year later. Just like when they sent me to D.C. and then he wanted me back a year later. I'm like, why am I only here for a year? But anyway, so I was standing there with my son after we had the boxes loaded in the van and everything. And I said, I prayed and I said, "Lord, I am so thankful that you allowed me and my children, the last year I had my children, to have a beautiful home. And I thank you that you gave this to me, and I'm turning around and giving it right back to you, Lord. It is never, everything we have is never ours. It's always yours." So I had cleaned the house spotless. I'd washed all the windows because I always like to leave things better than I receive, type of deal. So I left, and then I told you the story of how when I was driving, somebody had filled up my van with gas. I had, this is my dime story. I only had a dime. Driving to another state with nowhere to live, no idea, no furniture, just me and the kid going there, just like D.C., $9 in a suitcase. So I'm driving through Louisiana. My mama called, not Louisiana, but Louisville. And my mom calls me and says, "Well, how do you feel? How does it feel to be leaving that brand new house and going up there, leaving it all, and going up there not knowing you have nowhere to live or nothing, bringing your kid up there? How do you feel about it?" I said, "I'll tell you how I feel, Mama." I said, "You know, the Lord spoke this, and me being in peace, 100% peace, is what it's all about, because I know that I know God said to go. So I'm going. I don't know what it's going to look like when I get there, but I am obeying him." Well, I got up there and bam, there was an apartment waiting on me. I got an apartment. People started giving me furniture. I told you the story of how God paid not only my son's tuition, $4,500, but the guy took my son and bought him a car, bought his wardrobe, paid all of his fees at the school. It was like $6,000. And then he bought him all that other stuff. And he took me to dinner, me and my kids, took me to a furniture store. And my prettiest piece of furniture I've always loved is my kitchen table, because I love to cook and I love to fellowship and my kids and I, you know, we always had kids over. I was that kind of mom, you know, really involved at the ballpark all the time, that kind of stuff. So God has this man take me to a furniture store and says, "Ma'am, pick out any kitchen table you want." I said, "What?" No way, because I always, the furniture that I gave up back in Tennessee was a German furniture dining room set. I'm talking the best of the best. It was one of them, you know, very articulate work, you know, European style. Very pretty, you know, with the cloth seats and the claw legs. And, you know, it was a big table that could roll out and seat 12. I had 12 chairs because we used to have people all the time. I had 3 china cabinets. You know, I mean, I'm talking that nice, very pretty. But when I got to Bible college and I got to thinking, you know, my kids are grown now, so I'd really like a glass table. You know, because I used to have wood all the time. So I said, "Any table, huh?" He said, "Yeah." I walked over there and saw the most beautiful glass table. It was marble and glass. I said, "I want that one." And then he went up to that furniture store lady and he says, "Ma'am, now the way their apartment is, they have their living room and their kitchen is all one big open room. So do you have like a coffee table and end tables that matches this? You know, maybe some lamps and some wall fixtures and stuff like that?" Yes. God fixed me up. Yes, he did. So that's what happened in that deal. And then God paid my other son. This is the story of where I gave Mama Parsley my diamond ring. And she imparted into me the Mother June, Mama June anointing. And then God paid for Brock's tuition, $1,100. Paid for his honeymoon. And sent them on a shopping spree at Lifeway Christian Bookstore. So God went way above what he told me at 4 o'clock that day. And then 9 months later, after I surrender all, say, "Yes, Lord, you can have me. I will be celibate." He took that perversion. He took that dirtiness and shame. He took my past, basically. Now I'm in a whole new realm, a whole new world. I'm in Bible college. I am driving his bus. I am coaching his cheerleaders, including his daughter. I mean, I'm in the Bible college. I'm all active and everything, you know. And then the boys, they're all very happy and everything. But now I'm living this new life. And the first day that school started, everything quit. God put me through a 3-month trial of stripping me of all income, period. No child support, which he always paid. No child support, no income, no jobs. Our cars broke down. I mean, he made it to where we were stuck at home and could only go to the Bible college and back, and then our car would quit. Does this sound crazy to you? This is my story, and I'm sticking to it. That's exactly how it happened. That car would take me 1 mile down the road to the Bible college, or 2 miles, and then come right back. That's it. So at the end of that 3 months, you know, it's the 1st of December. I've had all I could take. I went out at 1 o'clock in the morning and stood, you know, and sat in my car in front of all the nation's flags and told the Lord, "You told me that you would be my husband. My husband provides for me. My husband cares about my children." You know, and I'm being honest with him. "You said you was going to be my husband. I feel like you've abandoned me. I don't have where, you know, I've got 3 eviction notices over here. You know, my lights are getting ready to be cut off and I'm having this powwow with my husband." You know how you would a regular husband. I'm like, "Where are you at, Lord?" You know, and I said, I'm still here. It's been 9 months. I have honored you with my body. I have honored you with all things. You know, and a husband takes care of me. And so, and then I had this, like, I want to say fire come over me, because I said, but you know what? I'm going to praise you anyway. I don't understand what's happening right now, but I'm going to praise you. I just worship you, Lord. So the next morning, we're on our way to church, and the car breaks down because it ran out of gas. We have no money. So the car runs out of gas on the highway. Me and my three beautiful kids, you know, the boys are dressed in suits. I'm dressed nice. My daughter, we're out walking on the highway, and traffic stops both ways. Because believe this or not, y'all like my personality. You match that with three kids like me. I mean, my son knew every person's name at that Bible college, and they all loved him. He almost got Bible. When they voted me queen of the Bible college, he almost got king. He's, you know, very well loved. But everybody knew us at that church because we was so involved in everything type of deal. But traffic stopped both ways. They all get out of their car. They're like, what are you doing tonight, family? I said, I'll tell you what we're doing. I am out of gas, you know. They said, give us the keys to that van. So they went and filled it up. It was about $75. It was one of them big conversion vans. So we get to the church and, you know, we're worshiping and everything. And man, I just start worshiping God. I'm like, you know what? I just got to laugh. It's so bad. I am worshiping you like there's no tomorrow, because everything around me is just collapsing. So right after that, I go back to the house and get a phone call. And y'all ain't gonna believe this. Crazy as all get out. I got a phone call that said, ma'am, we're gonna repossess your van. Now remember, this is the only mode of transportation we got that took us a mile. This van I had paid on all them years, on time, everything, had one payment left, like $500. He would never give me that money to pay that. Believe me, I would talk to him all the time. My husband, they're fixing to repossess our car. I need $500. And then the whole thing's paid off. I mean, this, I'm letting you know where I was at this time. So they said, man, we're going to be there in an hour to repossess your van. So you need to meet us over here. And I said, all right. They came and there went the van. Now we have no way to go. They're kicking us out of this apartment, you know. So I was like, that's it. So we got a ride to church that night by somebody. And the worship's going on, and I just worship God. I said, I don't understand why this is happening, but I am worshiping you. I don't understand, but I am worshiping you, Lord. I worshiped him like there was no tomorrow. The next day, the heavens opened. A man walked up to me at Bible college and said, ma'am, I don't know what it is about your family, but the Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock and said, I want you to pay all that woman's bills. That man spent $10,000 that day. $10,000. He, see, our rent, that was the most expensive rent I've ever paid up until that point. It was $750. It sounds so cheap now. But, you know, back then, rent was a lot cheaper, so that was very high. $750. He paid 3 months that I was behind on. Then he paid 3 months up. Then he paid our cell phone, you know, the lights. He paid all that kind of stuff. And, went and got the kids, it was like $1,000, bought them a beautiful bunk bed, the boys, because they shared a room, and one of them bunk beds that had the twin on the top and the full on the bottom, a nice wood one. and, you know, took us shopping and bought us, because, you know, this was in Columbus, Ohio, where it's freezing up there. So he bought me a fur coat and bought the boys nice coats. I mean, it was, God really just, now that Friday, that was on a Monday. And ever since that day, the heavens were opened. I never had to worry about it again. People would call the apartment and say, how much she owe you? And they'd say $750, and they'd pay it. Just like the way God did me in Washington, D.C., he paid it. So, now, that Friday was the dance, the prom. And that morning I woke up and the Lord spoke to me and he said, because you gave up your house and car for me, I'm going to bless you beyond measure, type of deal. And then I went to the school and this woman walked up to me. She was a teacher of the seventh grade class at the school. And she had asked me to testify to them about how God brought me to Bible college, share the miracle story. So when I got there, a lot of the kids, by the time I got done, were crying. And these are seventh graders. And they were so inspired. And they told me, you know, that their mama's like that. She's living with a man and, you know, or their father's abusive or something like that, you know. And I prayed with all the kids. So this was about 2 or 3 weeks later. And the teacher of that class met me in the hallway at the church. And she said, my class made this for you. And they just want to tell you how much they loved your story. It was a beautiful mirrored box, like a treasure box, which I called it my alabaster box. Remember I told you the story of the alabaster box? I was like, thank you, ma'am. And somebody had handed me just $20, just handed me $20. So I said, hey, kids, I got $20. Let's go eat. I'm starving. So we go to this restaurant. And I said, look at this, what this teacher just gave me. And so we started reading these letters these kids wrote. Oh, my world. We cried and cried. These kids took a whole class to write to me. And they were telling me, you know, and we cried and cried. It was me and Andrew and Megan. And then while we're reading these stories and we're waiting on our food, these four girls from the Bible college walked in. Mama June! That's what they all called me, Mama June. There was like 500 students there and I had 500 kids. Anyway, they come up and they're like, Mama June! Oh, and I was like, let me tell y'all what God has done in my life this week. So I started telling, man, it has been one blessing after another ever since Monday. So one of them said, yeah, here's another one, and handed me a check. Now, my daughter, sitting across the table from me, you know, she has had a pretty rough life type of deal. And she was living with her father when I came to Bible college, so I had to come up there without her. And then God worked it out for her to come up there. Well, when she come up there, she saw a different mama. This wasn't the mama that was with men. This was not the mama that was one way on Saturday night and one way in church on Sunday. Now she is in she has come to me and I'm a new woman. And within 2 months, she got saved. A for real salvation. Beautiful salvation. And so now she's in a whole new world. Her life has changed. She's on the cheerleading squad with me. She has all these new friends. You know, she's living the life. And so I looked at this check. It was a check for $1,000. Now, remember, we didn't have anything. We had that $20, so that's how we was able to eat. So this was like somebody handed me a check for $1 million, you know. And so I was like, what? We're just so overjoyed and overflowing with blessings. We don't even know. People used to get, after that moment, I was writing all these newsletters, you know, back home, letting them know. I wish I had all these now. People got tired of reading all the blessings. That's how much it was. Overflowing blessings. And so I said, looky here, daughter. And I slid that check across the table. And she goes, what is it? I said, look. And she looked at it and it said $1,000. And she just started bawling. I don't understand this. I just don't understand. Why is he blessing us so much? Why is he doing all this? And I looked at her, and this is still, this is a revelation God gave me through all the experiences I've been through. I said, because obedience is the key to your wealth. See, that's what I'm telling you guys about the news. I've been disobedient. That's why the wealth ain't here. That's why I need God. Please forgive me. Help me to get over the news. But anyway, I said, obedience is the key to your wealth. And so anyway, she cried and whatnot. And then that couple that paid the $10,000 called me on that Wednesday and said, who are you taking as a date to the dance? Used to, I always had a man. So for me to be single and to be manless is a miracle. And it's been 9 months, longest I've ever been. So I sat there and I thought about it and I said, you know who I'm taking? I am taking my kids. They're going to be my date. And they said, we was hoping you'd say that, so we're going to bless you beyond measure. We are going to buy you and your daughter a new dress. We're going to get y'all's hair done, your nails done, your face done. Yes, yes, yes. So that Friday, we had all these appointments. We had our I call it our queen day. We went and had our nails done. We got our hair done. We had somebody put on our makeup. And I got hair color and had my hair straightened for the first time in my life. I had real long hair back then. And so we went to the prom that night. It was Winter Wonderland. And I hope y'all enjoy my story here. I know I went off long, but I can't stop when I start. Anyway, we walk in the Bible college, and it's in the gymnasium where we used to have the, where we had chapels. And you walk in, there's a red carpet rolled out. And there's white trees going all down the side of the red carpet. And then there's trees everywhere. It's decorated so beautiful, like the Winter Wonderland. And so I walked in the Bible college, and I have one son on one arm and the other son on the other arm and my daughter on his arm. And we walked in, and all those students were standing there. Wow, you know. And they was like taking pictures, and it was like Hollywood, you know. And so I walked down the red carpet, and I'm so proud. I can't tell you the moment of holiness and beauty to have the two men in my life that I love so much walking in my arms, you know, to a prom. I don't know. It was just beyond measure that they were my men. But God had prepared me like Queen Esther. You better know this. He prepared me like a queen, did he not? All week long, he lavished me with gifts. He lavished me with love. He lavished me with favor. He lavished me with blessings. And then dressed me for the night. I arrive, and I believe he met me there. Yes, I do. And so we walked in. We had the best night. I mean, we danced the night away. We had so much fun because we knew all these kids and we loved them. And, you know, we was all really close and tight because the Bible college students, by this time, I'd already been with them 3 months and I was truly their mama. They would come to me. They'd tell me all their sins. And you guys do the same to me. And y'all know I don't judge you, don't you? Y'all tell me you're dirty, dirty. You know, I don't care. Because I have been there and done that. I don't care. We're all on this journey together. Nobody's better than anybody else. You know? Just because I've had these miraculous stories doesn't make me better than anybody else, and I don't consider myself that way either. So, anywho, so we're all dancing the night away, you know, and we're having fun. And so they had the vote for the king and queen. So I voted my son king because I felt like he is. You know, everybody loved him. He's, you know, he's what made it so much fun, you know. And voted this girl I thought should have been queen and whatnot. So they announced the king and they said, oh, this vote was so close between these two guys. You know, one of them's Brock Knight and the other one is this other guy. I forget who it is. But the other guy won. And I was like, oh, man, I was hoping it'd be my son. And then they said, the queen is June Knight. I said, what? I could not believe it. I mean, I'm the oldest one there. I was like, what? So God crowned me queen. I know I give him all the glory for that because he showed me that he is the true husband. See, that first 3 months where he stripped me and he took from me was to show me a precursor. That was my precursor to the big global trial I had 7 years later when God called me into full-time ministry after I went through secular college another 7 years. Then, when he launched me into full-time ministry, that I always had the memory of what happened in Bible college and how God took care of me then. So then in 2013, when he stripped me, he told me, I want you to be transparent with the church because I want them to see you rise. I want them to see you suffer. I want them to see you homeless. And I want them to see you when you come out of this. I want them to see me through you. You see what I mean? So that's why I've been transparent, written stories about my life and let it all out there, my sins and everything, because it ain't about me. It's about what God has done. So let me finish this story with one last point. That night, well, two more points. That night after the prom and after the queen deal, and I was on cloud nine, we all went out to eat. So we were sitting at this big table with a bunch of Bible college students, and I said, I got to tell you guys a story. They said, yeah, well, they used to love my stories. And I said, this morning, the Lord woke me up, and I told them what the Lord said. It wasn't 30 minutes later, this guy walked in this restaurant, and Brock says, hey, how you doing, dude? You used to go to the Bible college, didn't you? And he's like, yeah. He said, hey, I want you to meet my mom. She just got here from Nashville. So I, you know, waved at him and everything. And he pointed at me across the restaurant. He goes, thus saith the Lord, because you gave up your house and car for me and said exactly what God told me at 4 o'clock that morning and exactly what I sat and told all these kids at this table. Oh, yes. So God confirmed it again. All right, so 2 weeks later, on Christmas Eve, the Lord wakes me up. He says, I got a gift for you today. I said, oh, yeah, what? And he said, I'm going to let you get married again. I said, I about blew a lid. I said, what? After 12 years of battle with you over this issue, now you're going to let me get married again? And then listen to what he said. He said, you had your priorities in the wrong place. He said, you have to love me before you can ever love a man. I was like, whoa. And then I repented for my idolatry of men. But, you know, it's because of how I was raised. And that's just what I knew. And I repented for me having that wrong priority and everything. Now, from them, and I went to church. Two people walk up to me, one in the choir. Thus saith the Lord. I'm going to let you get married again. And then I go down after church. Somebody walks up to me. Thus saith the Lord. I'm going to let you get married again. That was 2005. When did I get married? 2022. 17 years later. 17 years. And then I got married. And then when I got married, I had a whole different perspective of a husband and what a husband is, haven't I? Because now I've been on a journey with the Lord. I have been in the desert. I've been on top of the mountain. I have seen what a husband does. So now that God has blessed me with Dennis, you know, he is a mountain man. He's not a businessman, you know. Some people, you know, see that it's kind of odd with, you know, my lifestyle and his lifestyle. But this shows everyone what my priority was in my heart is the same way I am when I'm with you guys this morning when I'm on the news. I am a for real person, and I love prayer. That was my top priority in a spouse was I got to know if you can pray. I don't care if you got money because you're not my provider. God is my provider. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So that's not a, I don't care about your status. I don't care about your career. All that stuff's going to fade. I want to know if you're a man of prayer, because if you can't guard the gates over me in this ministry, we ain't going to make it anyway. So this is why the 22 years. So the thing about Dennis is he is a man of prayer. He is my guard. When I leave this house, he's praying for me. You know, and Dennis, I always tell you guys how I love Paul, you know, in the Bible. I feel like Dennis is my modern day Paul. And he is a visual representation of the love of Jesus. And it's really amazing that before I die, I'm able to experience that. Okay, so let's go back to the word here. And thank you for letting me share my story. All right. Or stories. Now, okay, so in verse 2, all that came out of verse 1. Now we're in verse 2. Psalm 19, verse 2. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. Well, I did a deep dive, so let me give you my revelation here. Now, day unto day uttereth speech. Okay, so what is the definition of uttereth? Uttereth means to speak, pronounce, disclose, or publish, which is what I do. Publish, make it official, right? So through the day, the earth is declaring his glory. The earth is the testimony of God. Let me repeat that. The earth is the testimony of God. Already you can see where the Lord is going with this morning. The earth is declaring his glory, but they're killing it. They're trying to shut him down. They're trying to shut up his story. They don't want people going outside and seeing the glory of the sky. Are the night beautiful stars? How many of you have actually sat outside at night and looked up and admired his beautiful work, his beautiful handmanship, you know? The beast wants people to have their face in screens. Face in the metaverse where they see what he wants them to see. Then basically the sky and the heavens are a testimony of our God. He is the creator. And when it says night unto night showeth knowledge, here's what that means. To show humbly, to establish, and to prove. The night reveals God's glory and his message. Knowledge about God's glory. Knowledge is what we gain in the quietness of the night, and we see the bright stars, moon, and see how they form. That is a testimony of God. Isn't that beautiful? See, God is telling us, share your testimony. You're the testimony of me to humans. It matters what you've been through. People need to know, even if it's fantastical. Like me, when I share these stories, they sound so fantastical. Who cares? People, it's your story. It's your story, and you're going to stick to it. Amen? All right, so let's go to verse 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Okay, why is that? Here we go. Here's the answer. Because the earth is talking. When we look at the beautiful flowers, they talk to us. Hello? Don't you see how pretty God is? When the birds fly around and they sing, hello? Don't you hear how beautiful God is? When you see an owl hooting in the night, hello, don't you see how beautiful God is? When you see a woodpecker or hear a woodpecker pecking on a tree, hello, don't you hear what a good God we have? It all testifies of who the real God is, the creator of all things. So now look at the verse. There is no speech nor language, which means it doesn't matter what part of the earth you're in, whether you're Chinese, Hindu, African, Australian, Swedish, American, European, Israel, Muslim, it doesn't matter. God witnesses to everyone on the earth, and animals too, and trees too. Remember what the word said, the trees of the field will clap their hands. They give glory to God too. I told you the story of the horses, how when I was writing those two books, The Garden Twins, and I was on a horse farm living in a horse trailer, and the horses would storm by the trailer every day, and I'd love hearing the thunderous noise of the horses' hooves. And I was next to a pond, so they ran around me to go over there and drink from the pond. And one day, I was outside on the porch looking at all these beautiful horses. And they all had their heads down enjoying this beautiful morning, and they're drinking from the pond. And all of a sudden, big thunder arose and shook the earth. And all these horses at the same time lifted up their head and went, and looked up in the sky like, we hear you, Lord. It was the most amazing thing to witness. They knew who was talking. And they looked straight up like he had their attention, baby. And they all took off to the trees, to the woods, and hid in the woods. A storm came, see. And the woods protected the horses. Because I went into the house at night of the farm home, and this was the intercessor. God gave me an intercessor for 11 weeks that interceded for me every day in tongues while I would be out writing and praying and having an encounter with God writing those two books. So I went and told her, you know, what happened that day, and she goes, oh, yeah, the trees, they do, they protect the animals. So that's how I learned that. But when I think about this, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The sky talks to people. The sky witnesses of the glory of the Lord, morning, noon, and night. The sun and the moon and the stars. Remember Brock about his book, you know, the... Heaven awaits your expression. There you go. And his book talks about when he was with Jesus in heaven and how Jesus took him around and showed him the cities. There is cities in heaven. And how everything there bears witness of God. Everything expresses itself. Even the gold, the streets of gold you walk on, it moves when you walk on it. And Jesus was right beside him. But even the gold reacted to Jesus' presence. It wants to give all that there is of it to give when Jesus walks by. But when Jesus told that angel, hey, I want you to reach up there and get a star. I want to show him a star. And the angel reaches way up in the sky and gets a star and brings it all the way down in front of Brock. And then Brock said he looks in that star and he could not believe it. Could not believe it. The star expressing its glory to Jesus was like, you can't even describe the colors, Brock said in that book. I mean, really, I have a visual of what it looked like. I can't even imagine how beautiful. Brock said some of the glories he saw up in heaven, you can't even describe what the colors look like. It's so amazing. And so I think about that star. You know, that the star is an expression, a beautiful glory of God that presents light. And then you look up in the sky at night and you see all, like last night when I took the dogs out, all the stars in their beautiful glory, the light that is shining. You know, I see things different now because of Brock's book. I see that all the stars have an expression that they're meant to express for right now, because there is coming a day when they won't be there anymore. These are things that we get to see because we're in God's great garden. We get to see all this. But right now, since we're at the end of the story, we're at the end of the mankind story, and the beast is, you know, taking his throne, the old dragon, and he only has this earth for a little bit. He can do what he's doing right now, but it's not going to last very long. Because one day, the great city Jerusalem is going to come down. It's going to be a new earth. And then we will not have this destroying and destruction that we're all witnessing together as a family, right? We're witnessing how they're destroying God's beautiful earth. But there's coming a time, this earth is going to be so beautiful that our eyes are going to be amazed at all the colors and the glory and the beauty that we're going to see with our eyes. Now let's go to verse 4. Okay, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Okay, here we are. We're the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun. And I did a deep dive on this. What does tabernacle mean? In this scripture, what does it mean? It means a fixed or movable habitation, a house. Isn't that beautiful? The earth is the house for the sun. Beautiful, beautiful. Now, this really gets you, verse 5, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. And when I read this, I had a visual of Dennis on her wedding day. You know, Dennis, you know, for me, this is back when Steve and Yana and I were real close. They were in my wedding. And, you know, Yana was with me, and Steve even did my hair. Did y'all know that? Yes, he did. He did my hair, and it sounds so funny now, and Yana helped me get dressed and stuff. But I looked up, you know, when I felt like a queen. I felt so beautiful in my beautiful white dress with the diamonds on it, just like God gave me in my dream years ago what it would be like. That's what it was like, and I was standing in the back looking at Dennis, and he looked like a young man, ready, a strong man ready to run. You know, that's what I thought when I saw this. Because he's a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, just waiting on his bride to come down the aisle, you know. Let's see here. So, and then my notes on this is, he is excited to marry his bride. Rejoices as a strong man running a race. Verse 6, his going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. This is talking about God and the glory of his creation. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, boy, will that preach. Will that preach. This is where I believe they have it so wrong in messianic, what they call messianic Christianity. I believe it's such a farce. Because they got mad at me in D.C. because I said, you know, to this Jew that I was interviewing that was a messianic, because, you know, I was in NAR, so I just thought everybody was a Christian. And so I said, how did the, you know, the Jews in your family and stuff, how did they treat you when you converted to Christianity? You would have thought I smacked that man upside the head. He was so mad. That is anti-Semitic. I said, what are you talking about? We don't convert to nothing. No, we don't. You know, you are grafted in. I was like, oh, Lord, I done struck a big one with this guy. See, this guy was one of the biggest in, if not the biggest in D.C. So I was like, I better look into this and see what he is talking about, because obviously I struck a chord here. But see, this is where that dual covenant comes in. There is no messianic Christianity, because this is why they don't like the New Testament. Because Paul absolutely refutes that. Because he says, there is no Jew and there is no Gentile. There's no Greek. There's nothing. There's no men, women, red, yellow, black, and white. No identity, period. But being a Christian. That's the key. So it is a conversion, just like the scripture says right here. Converting the soul. What are you converting from? You are a sinner. No matter what your nation is, what your genealogy is, you're a sinner who needs Jesus. That's the whole point of it. It doesn't matter what your identity is in the world prior to Jesus. And none of that matters when it comes to the soul. You're either saved or you're not. And so, let's go back to this. So, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And I thought about that. You know, that is me to the bone. I am so simple-hearted. Simple-minded, you know, meaning, you know, like when y'all came in on the prayer call this morning, I was playing that little girl singing that song. You know, I'm all about just being simple with it. You know, I don't know how to explain it, but the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. All right. Then I had to research. What is, see, now I'm doing rabbit trails in the Word, right? So I was like, statutes, boundaries. The boundaries of the Lord are right. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Enlightening the eyes. Did you know that when people have demons, it darkens the eyes? You can look at somebody's eyeballs and tell when a demon's rising within them. And let me tell you how. Because I've cast out so many demons, it's not even funny. So let me just tell you. When you
are around someone, just watch their eyeballs. When they start bringing up an offensive subject, like say they're offended about something that happened at work or, you know, whatever it is, when they begin getting in that anger mode, their pupils of their eyes begin expanding. And they will almost take over the whole eye when that thing rises. And you can watch it right in front of your eyes. You can see when people are on pharmakia, like say depression drugs and stuff like that, they're overtaken. And look at their pupils. They're all swollen out. They expand out. You can tell darkness. Pupils. When I was demon possessed, back when I was 2019, wait a minute, not 2019, but when I was 19, I got on the Ouija board for 2 years, well, a year and a half. And I started getting people in the community involved in it, whatnot, and the last 2 months that I was on it, my eyeballs, the whites of my eyes began turning solid red. And I did not drink. I did not smoke pot. I only smoked cigarettes. But they stayed red the entire time. And I was demon possessed, meaning hearing voices and all that kind of stuff. So I went to the Baptist church for help. They didn't know what to do with me. And then I went to an Assembly of God. And then I went up to an elderly man. I said, "Sir, you ever heard of a Ouija board?" He's like, "Yes." I said, "I need help." And I told him. He went and got the anointing oil. And boy, he cast that thing out. And I felt it leave. It went just like this. If I could give a visual through the sound, it'd be like, poof. And it just like, walked out. After that, my eyes went white. My eyes were clear. It was because now the darkness had left. In other words, have you ever looked at somebody that's so full of darkness, they look hollow? It's you can see the eyes are the windows to the soul. So now let's go back and look at this. Enlightening the eyes. What enlightens the eyes? The boundaries of the Lord. Why? Because they're right. They rejoice the heart. Why? Because your heart's not condemned. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. Why is that? Because, like I said when I got baptized, it's a cleaning of the heart. The fear of God, you love Him so much that you want to serve Him. The fear, you have fear of your God. You know, like all of us, when we look at this end time scenario, we look at this whole facade and farce that we're looking at. And we, you know, we think in our minds, all right, you old Philistine, you old uncircumcised Philistine trying to rise up against my God, who do you think you are? You think you have my body because you're trying to poison everything around me and you're trying to get me on all sides through the weather and through poison and through our food supply and through our water supply. You think you're slick, don't you? You know, this body is dust anyway. But you ain't going to have my soul. That's what He wants. God has my soul and He has my spirit. This body's going to go back to this old earth anyway. So, the fear of the Lord is who I fear. Remember the sermon from Tuesday. Who do you fear, God or man? It endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Bam. What did we talk about on Tuesday? Let me go back in my little
notes here. What we talked about on Tuesday. We talked about, let me get this journal. The hand, that's it, the hand. Okay, so on Tuesday, God was saying, judgment is here, people. Judgment is here in the earth. Would you rather fall into the hands of God in that judgment and let him do what he's going to do? Or would you rather fall in your judgment to the hands of man? God's judgments, like the scripture says right here in verse 9, are always true and righteous. The will of the Lord be done, even at your own peril. Remember Paul, when he was getting ready to be killed in Jerusalem, and all his people, please don't go, Paul, even a prophet. Paul says, nope, God's already spoke to me. I'm going to be killed in Jerusalem. So he let them know, this is my lot in life. Don't be sad for me. You know, this is my race, and that's the end of my race. And this is the way we should all feel about each other. The point right now is we're trying to help each other to be lifted up so that we finish our race with grace. Right? We are all going to stand before a very holy God that we all fear. Soon and very soon. It's going to be here in a fleeting moment. We want each other to be successful. We want each other to be overcomers and to be able to stand before God and say, Lord, we pray that we led a good life for you. We don't want people to fall and go to hell. We don't want them to have. This is why I'm telling you, all these preachers right now that are being exposed, don't push them down. Pray for them. Because we don't want these preachers to go to hell. Do you want anybody to go to hell? No. But more to be desired are they than gold. What is they? The judgments. More to be desired are they. What is that? The statutes. The boundaries of God. Than gold, which means than the earthly treasures. Yea, than much fine gold. Okay? Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You mean to tell me that the judgment of God can be sweet? I'd say so. Because even this morning, even though I repented to you guys about my failure to not quit the news when I should have, and God is showing me, your well is dried up because you're in disobedience, daughter. I'm calling you to something else. Get over the news, you know. Follow me over here. This is where the blessings are. It's just hard because I see so much happening. I worry about the bride. I'm afraid. You know, this is just what I'm thinking in my mind. You know, I see so many people falling for deception. I try to warn them. They won't listen. God help me. What am I going to do as a watchman? But he's shifting my assignment, and I've got to accept the assignment and just give the bride to him, right? Why? Because his judgments are sure and true in my life and in their life. I've told these people, if they choose to follow these people after I tell them what a farce and everything, it's up to them. They're going to answer to God just like I'm going to answer to God. But I have to do what God has called me to do, right? And the same for them too. All right, so anyway, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Uh-oh, God is saying, in my judgment, I'm being judged right now. I'm being rebuked by God. I'm being whipped by my master. But he's saying, come on over, daughter. You're going to have to leave that behind. Trust me over here. I have reward for you over here. The reward is in the obedience. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. Everybody lift your hands. Lord, we just pray this morning. You cleanse us, Lord, please, of our secret faults. Our ways that want to be in rebellion to you, like me with the news and my love of it and all that kind of stuff. The most important thing is the being rebellious to you, Lord. Needing healing from that, Lord. Heal my soul. Heal all of our souls. Heal us of our secret faults, Lord. That only you know what our faults are. Heal us from that, Lord. Heal us from our errors where we have missed you and turned from you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Boy, if this ain't preaching to me today, I hear you, Lord. Presumptuous sins. Sins you may not even know you're sinning. Right? Let them not have dominion over me. Raise your hands in the name of Jesus. We repent right now for presumptuous sins. Please forgive us, Lord. Help them to not have dominion over me. In Jesus' name, amen. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. There you go. See, God's healing us. Even in judgment, this is the reason I was saying this. Right now I'm being judged because of my disobedience. It came to the surface this morning. But even in my judgment, it is like a sweet honeycomb in my mouth. The repentance, the acknowledgement of my sin is a clearing, it's a clearing purification like a honeycomb. It's a good taste in my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Remember his eyeballs, the story? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Brad, I'm sorry, I've got one more story to tell about that house God gave me. That's where that song came from. My kids and I was buying this house. And it was after my divorce. And I was a school bus driver at the time. Y'all know I drove a school bus for 13 years. And I was a good school bus driver. They almost made me bus driver of the year one year. That's another story. But anyway. So I was buying this house And it was a small little house, like 1,200 square foot. This house here is only 930, so it's a lot smaller than that. But anyway, it was a three-bedroom house and had two bathrooms, a dining room, and a kitchen. Just a basic old ranch house. Well, we had all moved in, and we was all excited, you know, about getting a brand new house. We got to pick out all the cabinets, got to pick out the siding, the colors, the flooring, yada, yada. We was excited. In a brand new community, new subdivision, you know. And so about a week before I closed on the house, I get a phone call. And this man says, "Ma'am, I hate to tell you this, but you don't qualify for that house. So you're going to have to move out. You got 10 days to get out of that house." I told him, I said, "Sir, you can't do this. I got three kids living in this house, sir. They're all in high school. I got to have a house. We're already here, please." You know, and he said, "No, you got 10 days. So I get off the phone with him. I'm so distraught. I don't know what to do myself. I go in the living room and I turn on the worship music and I start talking to God. And I say, "God, please don't take this house. Please, Lord. My kids, we need this house, yada, yada. We've already picked out all the colors. The kids are so happy. We're right next to the high school where I was coaching cheerleading at. The kids were playing football, yada, yada." And so I'm like, "This is the perfect place." And then all of a sudden, this fire come over me, and I just started praising him. I said, "You know what? I'm going to praise you, Lord, in the midst of the storm." And I started praising him like crazy. And after I finished worshiping him and everything, weeping and wailing, shouting and screaming, I go back in the bedroom, got a phone call. And the phone call said unidentified, not unknown, but unidentified. So I was like, "Okay." I said, "Hello. His eye is on the sparrow." Oh, I thought it was in Opal in Florida. I said, "An Opal, an Opal." And it kept getting louder. "For I see, because I'm happy." And then I realized God has an angel on here singing to me. "And I sing, because I'm free for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." So it was the most beautiful angelic voice. And I cried and cried and cried. And then the phone went dead. And then it rang again. I said, "Hello, ma'am, this is the bank. I don't know what to tell you, but not only are you going to get to keep that house, but now you got a cheaper interest rate. Congratulations, ma'am. You have a home." I started shouting. I was like, "What is this?" So, yes, I closed on the house and then got the home. So excited. And then a year later, I'm in the prayer closet and God says, "I want it back." I'm like, "What is this? You just gave me this house." But nothing we have is ours. So when you hear me sing that song, "His Eyes on the Sparrow," just remember that song. Because that was God letting me know, you know, that he's going to take care of me, you know. And he still is. This is why I was telling you, even though I'm married now, I don't lean on my husband like I used to. A man, forget about it. No. No, you can ask him too. I lean on the Lord. He's still my husband. My husband is my best friend. He is my, He's my modern day Paul. We're holding hands and we're running. We're running. You know, we got a lot of darts flying at him. But we're running. All right, let me finish this scripture and then we'll be done. Okay, so in verse 14, which is the last scripture of Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, because I care about your eyes, Lord. You are my strength and you are my redeemer, which means he saves us. He's our savior. He's our redeemer. He's our savior. He is the one that heals us and delivers us. He's the creator of all things, the creator of heaven and earth. He is the man with the plan, the creator of all things. That is the God that we serve. Amen, Brad. Now, going back to what I said when I first got on this call this morning, because now I feel so much better after I finished this Bible study and everything. Basically, that's what happened this morning. God put me, he whipped me, put me in judgment over me inching back into the news when he was trying to inch me out of it. But all is well now because, you know, he's letting me know, I want you to dig with me, do them rabbit trails with me. Follow, just trust me in this new place I'm taking you. It's just so hard, you know, because, and then this morning when I was sharing with you how I felt about people griping about just giving me $5 for a month's worth of work or, you know, $40 for 6 weeks of work. You know what I mean? It's like, but now we know why. Those stories have reminded me of obedience is where my wealth is. So my disobedience dries up that well. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? But the good thing is y'all can grow with me and learn, you know, with me from my mistakes. If God is calling you to do something, you don't do it, it'll dry up that well. Amen? We want fresh wells. We've got to have, you know, the favor of God to be able to make it through here. We've got to have the eyes of God because We're not here to please the eyes of man. We're here to please the eyes of God. So if we're off doing something we shouldn't be doing, he'll let us know. And he'll nudge us right back into place, won't he? Well, I feel much better and I feel clean. And that burden's lifted off my back. And I'm so happy about it. Praise God. But once again, I do repent to you guys because y'all saw me do it. And I know you loved it because we all love doing the news and seeing what's happening out there. And I feel like I'm trying to protect you guys, you know, when I do that is my heart of being a watchman. But God is trying to shift me over here. So let's pray that I'll be able to stay out of it. Help me, Lord. Y'all help me. All right. So I'm going to stop the recording. I have not looked at any of your chats, and I see we have got 90 chats. What the world? Y'all been chatting away. What? I'm going to have to go look at this. Hold it. Let me get my mouse over here. Okay, hold on. I am rolling. I'm going to have to go down here and read some of these. This is funny. Wow. All right, let's see here. God wants to protect you, June. Amen, Denise. Is she still on here? No, she got off here. She has them grandkids. All right, let's see. I'm so thankful I have you on Patreon. Well, I want to keep Patreon. I mean, unless God gives me a dream and tells me to give it up. But I just can't, what it is I cannot do the news on YouTube. That's where I want to do it at. But he won't let me. He wants me to keep it focused on the prayer calls, church, and the Bible studies, because remember next week we're starting our Bible studies on the tabernacle, which is going to be awesome. So help me not to be tempted to go down the road, because it's getting so bad. I just want to help everybody. But I think one thing about it is that I've showed this week on the news is how it's increasing. Well, Trump is making the way for people to turn us in. That's what he's doing. And we're coming to that point because people don't want to hear it from us anymore. So they're coming to the point where it's too late. The art door has been closed. And that's what God keeps saying. Okay, so let's go here. You like Patreon the best. Okay, sis. All right. Yes, I know, Carla. All right. She goes, $40 ain't nothing. That's right, mommy. Ha! This... Carla, I'm so glad you said that. She goes, that's right, Mama June. I wouldn't be working if I wasn't getting paid to do it. Amen. Because I want to say, what is your time worth, people? You know, what is your time? You know, when I ask you and I tell you, listen, I need $300, people. You know, I just got a light bill the other day, $300. You know, and it's like, you just don't know the humility I've had to have to ask for money. Believe, you know, y'all see how I work, my heart, my work ethic. Don't you know, I, you know, would like to have something that'd be regular where, you know, regular paychecks where I knew that nobody could question what I'm doing with the money, you know, where nobody wouldn't get upset if I want to get my nails done or, you know, something like that or, you know. But anyway, okay. Thanks for letting me be here. All right. You have given your whole life for so very long. Well, I have to. It's the Lord. I know I have had them rip my heart out, pour my heart into ministry. Amen, Denise. You would be so well off if you was a career woman. You know the devil tells me that. No, it's the spiritual shift. Amen, Kimberly. I feel Father wants to purify his bride right now. Aw. Amen, Denise. That's true. Amen. Miss Kimberly says we need to fast again. Carla says, tell us the man's name. The one that I researched? I thought about showing it on my news last night as an example of how deception is, but it's like people just call me judging. I just don't want to be people to label me as a judge. I'm tired of exposing it. I tell people they reject it. I don't know what else to say. It's so obvious. I mean, it was gross. It was gross what I looked at on that man's photography wall. I'm like, I can't believe the church can't see through this. But I don't know. Okay, let's continue. Okay, as you say, people will do what they will do. True. Yep. People don't want truth anymore. True. You're not doing anything wrong. People don't know their word. Oh, okay. Well, I hear you there. I know you have been appreciative, Carla. I appreciate it. Ah, this is a good one. Listen to what this woman wrote. Good one. You focus on God's specific word for his assignment for you to strengthen those things that remain. And this is what I feel God is saying to me. Amen, sister. You guys that I have left, out of all the thousands of people I have warned out there, that I have told out there, all the thousands of people I've given examples of ministry after ministry after ministry, people, these fakes on YouTube, yada, yada. I have showed the bride how to research. They want to follow these people and they don't even research them. I was telling these people, listen, go to their YouTube channel. Look what they have on their info wall. Okay, because they'll tell what their mission is. And you'll notice some of them keep changing. You got to ask yourself why. And then they'll have their website on there. Check these people out. Look at their stuff. What are these people connected to? Before you just sit there and follow these people and get involved in what they're doing. Because all you're doing is picking up their sin and bringing it to your house. Yes, you are. You need to research this stuff. These people that are full of perversion. This man that I looked at yesterday, so I'm probably not going to tell you his name, but the one that I was looking at yesterday, you could see perversion all over these pictures. How people can't see this stuff, I don't know. I don't know. It was gross. Okay, so we see the enemy running rampant like LA wildfires. True. True. I love it when you warn us about other ministries. Well, I'm done with that. Okay, I've done enough warning on that. You are in transition, yes, and it hurts. I'm just telling you right now, it hurts. Yes, God bless our pastor because he has put up with me through all. He's been telling me for a while. He said, if the fruit is dried up, stop it. You know, realize this morning it is stopped. So, Matthew 10:14. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, shake the dust off your feet. Amen. I'm over here not wanting you to let it go. Carla, at least you're honest. I don't want to let the news go either, really, on myself. I hear you. But if I could get the people as excited over the word and excited over God as I was what we could find out there, I think it'd be so much better, don't you? Miss Campbell, I believe when you fully transition, souls will come. It's not your ending, it's your new beginning. And I do believe that's what God's telling me. But why is it hurting so much? Yes, preach the word. Never. You come across as wise. Thank you, Sid. Gideon's men. God is sifting, but will build your new all-in army. Oh, amen. That's what I'm saying. The ones I have left is where my fruit is. You guys are my fruit. And I want to build my fruit where the fruit is. The fruit that will remain. And we're going to have to get our eyes off of the world for real, legit, and get them in his word because we're this close type of deal. Carla, you've helped me more than you'll ever know with your news. When I try to tell my family what I know because of you, they reject me. Well, let me tell y'all something. I can't tell you how many people have told me that I've had death threats from family members because they're so mad at their family members that believe in me. They don't want to hear it, yada, yada. This is why I'm telling you guys, you really need to back off. See, a lot of you have been with me this whole 5 years, so you know what is going on out there. We have followed this thing since 2016. I've been in this with him. That's why you'll see me say all the time, Trump this, Trump that, Trump this, Trump that, is because I've been with him since day one. So I have, you know, it's been 8 years now. Okay, new mission, new army. Okay, yes, you have. It is incredible. Your knowledge and your wisdom, to God be the glory, that is for sure, for all he has shown me. So God help me to move with this. See, another thing is, you know, I told you my heart of wanting to do the Good Morning on the Farm again. What I see is when I get this new internet, which is going to be a month, they told me it's going to be a month, I will be able, which by then it'll be warmer, to sit outside with the animals like I did in the beginning when the Great Reset started. And people absolutely loved it because they loved listening to me. They loved my voice. And then they love watching the animals. It's just, it does something to them. And so we will be able to have that again. I remember back then when I first started, and Darlene, I know what I'm talking about on this. When I was with Brock in Georgia, and he had these animals on the farm, and Brock had just had a baby, and I was living with him right after I left D.C., and after I left North Dakota helping that elderly lady. So when I first moved in with Brock, he had just had a baby, him and his wife. And so I had to be quiet all the time, you know. But I still had a job to do. So I thought, well, I'll just do it outside while they're sleeping. That's what I thought. So I could use the internet from the inside. So I set up outside on their front porch, and I put the phone inside of a tripod. And I pointed it towards the yard, and, you know, which we had cows and stuff in the field. And I said, you know, this was all on Facebook. This is why I hated to give up Facebook, because I have all them memories on there. But I do have some of my recordings from that Good Morning on the Farm. That show went from, I'd say, it lasted March, April, May, June. So it was about 4 months I was there. On the farm, we would roll laughing so hard. I mean, them animals, they're a character. Now I got to tell a story. All right, we had this bull that we ended up naming Curly. Well, the reason that he was called Curly is because he had this patch of hair on his forehead that was so curly and cute. So we called him Curly. Boy, did he have a personality. He had these two cows. I ended up turning this into a book. It's how good this story is. This is Adventures on the Farm children's book. But anyways, he had two cows that was his girlfriends. And every day you'd see him prancing through the farm. He was a beautiful red and beige bull. And these cows were beautiful black, fat, fluffy cows. So he, you know, and put, we had a bunch of other cows too, but he would walk through there with them two cows every day, you know, like he owned the farm, and he'd talk to us, he'd moo and all this kind of stuff. He was the kingpin. He bossed around all these cows. So we brought in a whole nother crew of little cows, little calves from another bunch. It's about 13 or 14 of them. When they come in, boy, he would kick them around. He was the boss. He was the man with the plan. Yes, he was. So, one day, and he would do all kinds of stuff on camera and make everybody laugh, you know, because he had a personality. Well, one day, the guy that actually owned the cattle, because we didn't own it, they just rented the land from Brock. When the guy came to take off the two cows, you know, to kill them to eat, and Curly was left by himself, it's really sad. They loaded them two cows, and Curly was cussing them out the whole time. You could tell he was. I mean, he was just letting them know how the cow ate the cabbage. How dare you take my women? And, I mean, these animals are like this. Once you get used to them, you know, like chickens and even the goats, we can see the personality and understand them. So, anyway, this truck pulls off with these two fat cows. Well, here goes Curly Boy running down the side of the fence, jumps over the fence and chases that thing down the road. He is so mad. I mean, seriously. So, I have to go running in the house. Telling Brock, Curly took off. I jumped the fence and ran down the road after the. So Brock had to go out and lure this big bull back to the farm with corn, you know, pieces of corn. So you lure him back with the food. So he gets back in there, but boy, old Curly, he moped around that farm. He was so mad. I mean, for like weeks, he was devastated over his girlfriends being gone. So one day I'm live. Well, here's old Curly over in front of the camera. Now, everybody knew Curly's story. Y'all know I done told everybody about Curly and what happened and everything. People would laugh. Well, so they knew that we got a sad bull on the farm. So this FedEx truck pulled up the driveway. And the FedEx truck pulled up. Curly thought that they were there to take another cow. Curly started mooing and going crazy. And this is all while I'm talking. Is there any of you guys that was on that broadcast? Because we're like, what is going on with Curly? And then we figured it out. Curly thought that this truck was there to take off another cow. So Curly followed that FedEx truck all the way down that driveway. He made sure that sucker didn't take a cow. Now, after the cutest thing was, those little calves that he used to kick around and let them know who's boss, and he didn't want nothing to do with them because he had his two girlfriends. He's better than them. He's a boss on the farm. Well, after them two girlfriends was gone, it wasn't a week or two later, I walk out one beautiful summer morning. And I walk out and there's Curly in the middle of the field with all these calves around him like a bunch of happy little babies. And I thought, look at you. You done took on another tribe, huh? Anyways. When we left and had to move to Winchester, we had to leave old Curly. And I told that farmer, the one that owned Curly, I said, sir, I'm going to tell you a story about this bull. This is the most famous bull in the world, sir. I'm just telling you right now. I said, we have named him Curly. And then I told him about old Curly. But anyways, the point that I'm trying to say is this. I said it back then. When I was sitting there with all them animals, I said, Lord, I would love to have my own. I would love to do this on my own farm and have my own animals where I can do this show and just sit out there and talk to everybody. And sure enough, God has given it to me. Now, the thing about this one is we just need to pray, because Dennis did say that right here behind this office, which is where I want to set up the camera, we have no problem having the animals back here, but we need grass. So we need to, you know, he told me we need to seed this, we need to have it. So, but anyway, so that's my goal. I would love to have that again and to have Good Morning on the Farm again. All right, so let's go back down here with the questions, okay? Kimberly says, yes, Lord, help us to pinpoint focus on your mission instructions to each of us. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Aw, look what Kimberly said. Coal mining, too. I know my mountains weep. Aw. Denise said, there's no bugs either. Now, Denise lives in Minnesota, I believe is where she lives, Minnesota. They have no bugs. Marty told me what your ground needs. Okay, email me, Kimberly. Yes. Ah, that is funny. Ah, look at everybody used to smoke talking in the chat room. That is funny, yep. Used to love them cigarettes, yep. Yeah, takes dirt to make a garden grow. True, true. Oh, amen. Carla said, Lord, please do miracles for Mama June like you did before in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to see fresh miracles like this. Amen. Please, Lord, bless her finances to the max. Oh, thank you for praying that, Carla. Almost unbelievable, but I know you are testifying the truth. It is unbelievable. A lot of my stories are, I know. We must praise him anyway. Remember that? I got another story. Remember that story I told you about that woman in the wheelchair with one leg? You just can't make this up. I was on the 2017 tour. I had just finished New York City. I had worked there all day long. I mean, my feet were blistered. My legs were cramping. Tired is not even the word for it. Where I had obeyed the Lord and prayed through the city at all the places God told me to pray. And then I, you know, went with that lawyer that night and we, you know, went to Madison Square Gardens and all that kind of stuff. So the next day when I left to drive back to D.C., I had to go through Pennsylvania. I told the Lord when I left New York, I was actually on the New Jersey side, right on the edge of New York City. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, please don't ask me to do nothing. I'm telling you, Lord, this whole trip, God has exhausted me having me do stuff all the time. I said, Lord, I'm so tired. Can you please just let me rest till I get to D.C.? I'm so tired. My whole body's hurting. So it didn't last long. He gave me a couple of hours. I got to this one town called Newport. And this is, I think it's called Newport in Pennsylvania. And I looked over to the left, and there was all this satanic graph, I don't know how you say it, where they draw on walls, graffiti. And I was like, oh, and then I felt in the spirit, oh, I see you, yo devil. Because, see, when I travel the country, God shows me things about cities. You know, there's principalities and stuff over cities and stuff like that. And so God would show me, and then he'd have me address it and stuff like this. So anyways, I saw it over this city. And I said, I see you, yo devil. And then I said, I command you, you know, whatnot. And so I go up to a red light. And I was going to get back on another interstate. And when I was traveling, I would, you know, use my GPS system. And I relied on it to get everywhere. So when I was at the red light to cross over to get on the interstate, I was like three lanes over. It was like a four-lane deal. And this woman was in a wheelchair with one leg up. And so she had one leg. And she was running into oncoming traffic. She was taking her wheelchair, like moving her wheels right in the middle of traffic. I'm like, what the world? Now, see, when I left the state of Washington, when I put one foot in Canada and one foot in Washington, I watched a documentary about some drug, heroin, I think. And what it does to humans, it literally eats holes in their face. So why I watched that documentary, I don't know. But now I'm in Pennsylvania, and now I know why God showed me that. Because when I was in Pennsylvania and that woman was pushing her way through the oncoming traffic, I called 911. I said, please help this woman. She is in a wheelchair riding in the middle of, you know, oncoming traffic, and I'm afraid she's going to get killed, you know. And they said, thank you, you know, and I told them where I was at. So I took off when the light got green and waited on my GPS to tell me which way to go. And my phone went and died. And it wasn't out of battery or nothing. It just quit. The GPS just shut off. I was like, oh no, I got to make a decision. Do I go right or left? So immediately I said, Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, which way do I go? He said, turn right. I went bam and barely got that car over. When I turned right, it took me right back around to that spot. I was like, God, why are you bringing me right back? And then he brought that woman to my mind. And I said, are you wanting me to minister to this woman? He said, yes. I said, bring her to me then. And I pulled over at some business and said, bring her to me and I'll minister to her. And so I pulled the camera out, pulled the, and I was like, and here I am completely exhausted when God's asking me to minister to somebody, right? So I pulled out this tripod, put it on top of the car, and I said, all right, bride. And I told them, you know, this is on Facebook. I said, I'm waiting on God to bring me somebody, but we're going to spend a minute in prayer. Because let me tell you what I just saw. And I told them, I said, I am in this city that is full of some devils, and we're going to take care of this right now. So I prayed in the name of Jesus. See, God has taught me how to pray over cities, because you do not take on principalities that you do not have the authority over. I've learned this. So when I go and I see a principality that's over a region, I don't just come in and start attacking that principality. Here's how God showed me to handle it. I come in this city. God reveals this principality of murder over these people. So I come there, and this is how I pray. I said, bride, I want you to come in agreement with me, because we're gonna go to battle over this city. So this is why I said, Lord, you brought me to this city and you showed me this principality that's over this city. So I am coming in agreement with these preachers and these other spiritual people that you have here over this city that have dominion over this, that you have given the authority to pray over this thing. I'm in agreement with them. This thing is coming down in this city in the name of Jesus. God's will be done here, yada, yada. I've learned to say that I'm in agreement with the other people that God moved there and transplanted there and gave the authority to. That's who has the authority, not me when I'm just traveling through cities. So I come in agreement with them. See, that's power. That gives them power, okay? Because when God moved me to Washington, D.C., he gave me the authority. He brought me there. Thus, now I am in charge. I have the authority. You do have to bow to God's will, because God brought me here. Thus, what I say goes. And it's not that I'm God or anything, but it's that I'm in agreement with God. So, for instance, when God made me the captain over the U.S. Capitol for 3 months, and had me walk around the Capitol and had me walk around all the House buildings and the Senate buildings and the Supreme Court and all that stuff, and he had me pray and prophesy and lay hands on this and do this and do this. That's because God gave me the land. He gave me dominion over those principalities there. So thus, I would go pray. I would dance. Remember, he told me on New Year's Eve 2019, go out there to the U.S. Capitol and dance in front of everybody there, and you worship me. And I went out there and obeyed him in the middle of oblivion. That's because he gave me dominion. But when you're traveling, you know, you don't have that dominion. But the point is that woman that came in through the oncoming traffic, I was over there, you know, praying. And after I finished being live, I looked across the street and there she was. There she was. She was in her little wheelchair. And some man was pushing her. And I put my hands over my mouth. I said, sir, sir, I'm a minister of the living God. Please, God stop my tour to have me minister to her. Sir, please bring her over here. So he leaned down and he asked her, do you want to go over there? She's like, yes. So he pushes her across the street and she comes over there. And I looked at that woman and my heart fell to the floor. She had holes all in her face. The compassion on me for her was just so great. I was like, wow, that old devil. And then this fire come up in me and I told that devil where to go. Yes, I did. Why? Because God gave me authority over this woman, didn't he? Over this spirit. God wanted this woman set free. He stopped my tour When I was completely exhausted and did not want to do another thing, he stopped that tour for me to speak to these devils that were lying to this woman and tell them, I see you, yo foul devil. You stop all your plans against this woman. She will live. She will live and fulfill what God has called her to do. And I told her, I said, woman, in the name of Jesus, you will rise up. You will be the woman that God has called you to do. You are precious to him. You are loved of him. The devil has lied to you. You know, yada, yada. Man, that woman cried like a baby. Yes, she did. Because God singled her out. He loved her. In all her shame and filth that she was in. Duh. Just like what I felt like when I got baptized that day. The shame, the filth, the dirt that the enemy brings on you when you're out here in all your mess and your sin. God saw her there, didn't he? He called her out, didn't he? Yes, he did. Oh, yes. Yeah. So I prayed for her, loved on her, gave her one of my books. Yes, I did. All right, so let's continue. Yes, we must praise him anyway, no matter what we go through. Amen. Kind of like now, you don't understand why you're not getting enough support for all of your time. Worship God like crazy. You know, I thought about that. Carla, I thought about that as I'm telling my story. I am. Amen. Love your stories 100% of the time. Amen. Thank God for Dennis marrying me. Oh, let me tell you something. There is no way most men would ever touch me with a 10-foot pole. I mean, think about what I do. He has went through so much. Y'all pray for him. I mean this. Let me turn the recording off a minute. Now in the prayer calls and now, you know, that's where God is wanting me to focus. And I'm really, really happy about it type of deal. So, yes, y'all please pray for Dennis. Yeah, that is true. Everybody's staring at a screen right now. He wants their face in a screen in the metaverse. The sun rises every day on the evil and on the good. Yes. Carla said, just so true. Rabbit trails in the word. Yes. Yes, Carla, I understand what you're saying there. Well. Okay. Oh, I see, sis. Okay. Well, this is what I'm saying about the prayer calls, because this is a place to be with me, that is. Because when I see things happening like what I told you Trump did yesterday, you know, this is the perfect place for me to tell you. Instead of me having to, you know, do professional shows like I've been doing, God just tell me, it's too much time. It's not producing any fruit, you know, and it's abundant after this morning. I know it's abundant, abundantly true. I have erred there. But it takes, I don't know how many hours a week I focus on it. It's a lot of energy I've wasted, really. We've learned a lot, though, so let's keep going. Carla says, yeah, they complain about you getting nails when they get theirs done all the time. You don't know how the devil, how the devil messes with my mind. Yes, we need to be excited about God's word. Amen. I'm reading the comments, the 90 comments over here. Since 2019, I have followed you. I do know, but they won't believe me. I just have to sit and keep quiet with my husband and my kids. Aw. Even my friends who are born again, they don't want to believe me either. You have that book about Curly? That is a key. I tried to do awesome visuals about that bull. You was on that broadcast with Curly? That's awesome. You remember when he fell in love with those calves? Aw. Okay, sis, I got you. Look what this woman said. My husband and his friend are putting a new floor down. I'm running around getting ready for work, but I'm carrying my phone the whole time, and I told him I ain't hanging up. That is so funny. Yes, I'm believing God set that woman free. Yes, amen. Well, I won't keep you guys anymore. Let me stop to record. All right, go ahead.
Yes,
this lady has a revelation. Go ahead.
In verse 6, it says, he's going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit, that energy, that frequency, God goes everywhere. It's everywhere to the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The enemy is now doing all this stuff that we've been seeing around us through the infrastructure. Every time we have, you know, like we've been talking about all the headaches and everything we've been going through and that. This is a scripture that we can quote back because the enemy runs when they hear, Father God, your word says, it is written, he's going forth and is from the end of the earth and his circuit unto the ends of it. I don't have to put up with this fake, dirty energy and frequency and the dirt and the heat and everything that's bothering me. I've got your word that says what you do. I don't have to listen. I don't have to take on the enemies, that his circuit and his energy and his frequency. And then I remember that I was singing the song. From verse 7, 8, 9, 10 was the chorus, and then 14 was the other verse. We have to do more in just listening to his word, and don't allow the enemy, the things of this world, to bring us down and to do that, to implant in us that dirty energy. He is, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Everything about God, everything about our Lord, and when he died on the cross is pure and clean and holy and transparent. There's significance. Like I have the streets of gold are transparent. Everything in heaven, his world, is pure, clean, and transparent. It's not dirty. It's bright. It pulsates with the love and the joy and the peace he wants to give us. So every time we go through feeling like a headache and our heart fluttering or whatever's going on, quote the scriptures and say, Lord, your word says it, and quote these scriptures that I was talking about. And the enemy has to flee. They don't like it when you say it is written. And you quote the scripture. That's why it's so important, like you were teaching us to quote and memorize scripture. And how I do is through putting music to it or some kind of melody to it. Any kind of little ditty that you can come up with that the Lord drops in your heart, use it for the verse. We all can do it. We may not have the greatest voices, but we can all do it. So that I just give you that encouragement today. I just when you went ahead and said his circuit unto the ends of it, I just thought, wow, that cable, that wiring is all over. And the enemy's tried to counterfeit it with doing the mesh and doing the internet nodes and all the circuitry that it's trying to do. We don't have to put up with that. We know that everything God has planned, his will be done. But to affect us, just like the gal, I think her name is Sherry. She's the one that says, you know, she's confessing that we're kings and priests and daughters of God and we're the children, we set on high. We don't have to go low. We can connect And that's what's so important. And I'm learning this. I'm not speaking this as someone who's trying to lord or say anything that trying to be boastful or proud or anything like that. I'm learning this too, after years being saved. And I've made mistakes just like everyone else has. But our Heavenly Father he's waiting for us to come back. He's waiting for us to say, Lord, I blew it. Please forgive me. He's waiting for us to acknowledge him. He roams the earth looking for those who will love and worship him. So my decree and declare is that I will worship and love him. And I need to follow through the things that the Lord's given me. I can no longer sit and lay and not do what he says to do, because the consequences are too great and I'm paying for it. I repent, I denounce it, I renounce it, I come out of agreement with it. And so, yes, as we're laying in our bed, if that's where we're at and that's all we can do, be that handmaiden, be that intercessory prayer warrior. I know that people hear what we're saying. And I'm so glad that our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is bringing this all forth. And so In my own way, I just wanted to share that with you and let you know that I hear you, and Heavenly Father, I want to be perfume in your nostrils, not a stench. I want to be able to stand before you and have you say, well done. And I don't want anything to keep me from heaven, not any spot or wrinkle. And I'm working on a lot of stuff. And I every morning I say, Father, thank you for letting me have another day to get things taken care of. And help me to get it done. Help me to minister and be that light. When they see me walk down the street, they know that God is with me. Help my words to be a testimony, like you said. And that's another thing I'm doing. I'm writing down all the little tidbits that God gives me. I've got post-it notes all over my mirror. And I'm putting those in a book and I'm writing down my testimony. So I encourage everybody, I really do, wherever you're at, however your walk is, keep moving forward. Don't go backward. Don't purposefully go backwards, like you were saying, presumptuous sinning. Don't purposefully go backwards, but go forwards. God knows your heart. He knows your desires. He knows that you love him and you want to love him more. And that's my desire too, is to love him more. So I love all of you. Have a great day, a great weekend coming up soon. And just enjoy the Lord. That's all.
Well, it was all. Okay, we're talking about real salvation. And we was talking about Kanye and what happened. How he went into a mental institution, got out, went to see the Pope, straight out, left the Pope, went to see Trump. Right after he left Trump, he went to the evangelicals. They opened up all their doors. You know, what's his name down in Texas? Joel Osteen, you know. And he got up there saying he's the best thing God had ever created. That's what he said. Pride out the wazoo. On his social media, when you research him, this is what I was telling you guys about researching people. When you research him, you see he's still selling all his stuff. He still has not renounced saying that he was God, calling his name. Now he's named his name Ye, which is a mockery of God. But anyway, God would have you address this. You're not going to turn around and say you're a Christian and not address the idol worship that you're still making money on. You see what I mean? This God is holy. The real Jesus, this is what I was telling you guys, there is another Jesus out here. It's a New Age, Enlightenment, Saint Germain, New Age vomit that partners with this ecumenical spirit. That's this, it's a defilement. It's a defilement of the pure crystal clear waters from the throne is exactly what it is. They defile their body. They defile God. But anyway, years ago, whenever I surrendered all, I was in church before, you know, partying on Saturday night and going to church on Sunday, living half and half. But when I surrendered all, God immediately began cleansing. And he said, the first thing he told me to do was to go on my social media and repent. See, real Christianity is repentance. He's going to have you address what you have done. And so I had to repent in front of the entire world for what I had done to mock his name. For instance, I went to Bible college, had all them miracles, told all them stories of what God did, got out of Bible college, come back home, ended up homeless, ended up partying again. This is, of course, while I was in school, in grad school and all that. And I made a mockery of his name because he had done all the miracles and stuff before. So God had me address it and had me repent to his people about what I had done to the kingdom type of deal. So, you know, if you're claiming that you're all this in a bag of chips and you're still doing all that, no way. I don't buy it. I do not buy it. Because God is holy. He's going to have you turn from that stuff and not be pushing people to it. You see what I mean? But anyways, okay, so I'm going to stop the recording.